I'm going to ask Tim to sit up here with me today. Micah said something interesting there. Said that the Lord came and died so that we could escape corruption. You ever thought about it? Escape. The word escape means what? That you've been in it and you are now leaving it, right? So everybody that, you know, those words sometimes just kind of roll off the mind. You know, we're escaping corruption. But we're in corruption until we're not. And so I love that idea of like, we're escaping corruption. And Jesus made a way to do that. So with that said, it actually is a good tie-in to where I want to go. How many remember last week where I made a statement that caught quite a few people's attention, and it was about the likeness of Jesus and how that his likeness is not the flesh. The likeness of God was not his fleshly body. I think it caught a lot of people's attention in this regard, one of two ways. Either you didn't know that, or you just didn't really think about it in that manner. But then there's this other side, because I want to dive into that idea for a moment, but I need to bring it back to us and what Jesus actually did there. Now, Jesus is, well, you know, it's like, I don't just say he's the greatest example we have. I mean, he is Jesus Christ, God made flesh, so that we don't have to remain flesh. I'll let that sit in. God made flesh. He is God made flesh, Tim, so that we don't have to remain in the flesh. That's pretty awesome. But here's the thing. He was flesh. And we've got to begin to see a side of Jesus that you may not observe at times. In other words, it's easy to look past that Jesus was an earthly man, isn't it? Why? Why?
Because we think of him so spiritually.
Thank you. Because we think of him so spiritually as God. Well, he was God. And he didn't have any sin. And, well, I'm not. I'm not God, and I have sinned. So Jesus is something other than us. Is that true? What if we got a change of perception on that? What if we begin to see Jesus in the same manner as you see yourself? Can you do that? You think you could do that? But let me approach it this way. When you see Jesus as God and you don't think he suffered anything in the flesh and never had to deal with anything, you see yourself as not him and unworthy. Does that make sense? In other words, all your failures, all your going through life, all your journey in the flesh is you being separated from him because, well, he's God. But what if you saw his sufferings, and what if you saw his testings, and what if you saw his sorrow, and what if you saw his prayer and the things he had to go through as a man? What if you could see that? And then you could see the hope of an overcomer and the hope of somebody who could live in the flesh, deal with sin, even though he didn't sin, deal with it, deal with the temptation, deal with the accusation, deal with the condemnation of flesh, and yet not fall prey to it. Would that give you hope that you could do the same? Wouldn't it? Or did Jesus just do all of that for no reason? Tim, there's a scripture in Hebrews, and if I'm not mistaken, it's at the end of chapter 4, and Megan help go along with this, but it talks about we don't have a high priest that hasn't been touched with the same infirmities. You got it. Read that to us.
We'll start in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Hold on now. Hold on real quick. That's awesome. Did you hear that? He's passed into the heavens, which meant, where was he at, Micah? He was in the earth. To be in the earth, or let me say it this way, to pass into the heavens means that you came out of heaven somewhere, which was earth, and then you passed into the heavens after you dealt with the earth. That's some of the coolest stuff I've ever heard. And then he goes on to say, Tim, you read it at the end about the profession. You have to read that again. And I can already see the comments wanting to come up in you. So feel free.
It says, that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Which is what?
That we can overcome the earth because we have a word of heaven working in us.
That's right. Because we, our profession becomes what he says in that verse. We're sons of God.
Yes.
Is that true? Have you already passed into the heavens in his mind? When he went into heaven, and Brad, when he went into heaven, didn't he carry you with him, Tim?
Yes, he did.
So that's your profession.
Yes.
Sitting right here, that's your profession, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The one thing that I've been thinking about, Dan, and based upon one of our conversations, I'd never perceived this before, but you know the scripture that talks about thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven? So basically, you can have, if heaven, the thought of heaven is working in you, then you align the earth with the thought of heaven, and that is what's going to cause you to overcome everything that's working in the earth. So
that's it.
That's it. I mean, that's in a nutshell.
That's
if you
it.
Just align yourself with the will of God, the mind of God, the thought that the earth doesn't matter, it's not significant, is wrong. You just showed it right here in the scripture that Jesus passed from the earth back into heaven.
Yep.
He came, he dealt with it, he overcame it, he made a way, he became the mediator, he became our way back to heaven because of everything that he did. And he is our profession, so we have a way because of him. So when he says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, he is definitely the way because he became our way. We're going to be in Christ to do this. There's no other way but to be in Christ.
And all of that being in the man, Jesus, right? In other words, the likeness of everything you just said, the way, the truth, the life, that was the likeness of God in him, right? And then he joined his earthly body to that way and then walked in it. No wonder he did it so perfectly that we call his flesh God. See, and that's why you don't call your flesh God, because you can't do that right. Is that what you've told yourself? We're not finished. Keep reading.
Okay.
Because we could just take off and go with this right here. But
for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Okay. See the relationship here? The writer here is dealing with this idea that Jesus was a man. He walked in the same temptations that we deal with. Why? Because here's the idea I want you to walk in. We have the same earthly thoughts that he dealt with, don't we? We do. The temptation of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Wasn't all of that in him, warring against him? Yes or no? The word of God was sown into corruption and raised in incorruption. See, he was raised in his mind long before he ever got raised in the body. What about us? In other words, what my point is, the scripture says in Corinthians 15, it was sown into corruption, raised in incorruption, right? Sown in weakness. Well, are we excluding Jesus from that? Have we? Have we excluded Jesus being sown into corruption as if he hasn't even dealt with the flesh like we do? Therefore, we think he is something other than us and we're not like him. What a lie. The point is, if we think that, we will not be saved. We think we can't make it because Jesus never went through what we went through. That's what we think. That's a lie, isn't it, Tim? That's a lie, bro.
Yeah, it says in that Corinthians 15 that there are two bodies, the natural body and the spiritual body. And then so to say that he didn't have a natural body and put it off and become that spiritual body, that's the lie you're talking about.
There you go.
Saying that we can't do it because he was something different than what we are.
Yeah, Jesus, he was in the likeness of God. He was all spirit. And now he didn't have any flesh. Like we said last week. What died on the cross then? You, your earthly body died on the cross. Your earthly mind, your old man died with him on the cross. Isn't that cool? I mean, this is such a powerful thing that is yet a hidden mystery, it seems, to many. And it shouldn't be. Today, we're breaking that idea. And we're saying, we are resurrected with him because I'm overcoming all the world, all of the flesh, all of the mind of flesh. It doesn't matter. You could put the mind of the flesh as the old man and the physical flesh. We're going to overcome it all. We're going to overcome it all. Isn't that awesome? And therefore, I need you to see Jesus. We focus on him as the word, don't we? We've taught all that. And that came first as an origin of where he came from. But when he entered into the flesh, wow, he became a man. Doesn't the Bible say, Tim, that one of the mystery of godliness is that God was manifested in the flesh?
Yes, it does.
What do you guys think about that? I mean, immediately hope should rise in the room because I'm not alone. I'm not doing this journey in the flesh alone. I'm not alone because the same things I battle through in life, scenarios may be different, but flesh does not change. You know what? If you watch closely, Tim, we say that the world's got so much worse. No, maybe the advancement of the spirit of man has seen things and it's on a larger scale now. I'd say it was pretty bad. I'd say the spirit of man has always been evil and always has to be dealt with, doesn't it?
I've been thinking about that very thought there. To be able to say that things are worse now than what they've been is to misunderstand the nature that works in man without God. It can't be any worse. It's just, it's more visible. News can travel faster, but the spirit of man without God is in a state of corruption.
Yeah.
I mean, murders of it.
Everywhere.
Lies, deception, deceit. I mean, everything you can think of that works, the lust of the flesh, they're all there. They're all there working.
Through the generations, fear has always been fear.
Yep.
Hasn't it? Pride has always been pride. And it doesn't matter what age we're living in or what time, the same spirit of man is going to be the same spirit of man. And you know what? Jesus lived in that same flesh. and had to deal with all of that, and yet he overcame it and taught us how to do it right. In other words, we have the best teacher on how to overcome. Your life right now, sitting here today, you can overcome because he did. And he was a man. Read Romans chapter 8. Let's read like verse 1 through 3, Tim. And if you want to hear context of Jesus, this is good. Because we've already said that he didn't allow sin to work in him, right? Go ahead, Tim.
Okay, Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Good Lord, my God. Keep going.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh.
He had the same opportunity to fall to sin as we do. How many have said, yeah, I'm in the likeness of sin? Anybody ever thought that? Say, I represent sin. What are you talking about? I'm not just in its likeness. I am sin. I'm sin manifested. And I'm sure at some point you've thought that. No matter what I do, I can't get away, huh? Well, that's a lie. Can we say it point blank? That's a lie. You can, because he did. See, he did. And thank God. Now, I'll tell you why that people struggle living like Jesus did. Because when Jesus was born, he knew he was sent with a purpose, but see, he still had to learn. Jesus had a part of him that had to learn. See, he was born of God, sure, but he was also born of flesh, wasn't he? So what part of him had to learn how to join with God? How many, Brad, would call Jesus a soul? Well, because we say, 1 Corinthians 15, Adam was made a living soul. Jesus was made a quickening spirit. That's why you wouldn't. But who did the quickening spirit have to come live in? In the living soul of Adam? So that he could bring that living soul into agreement with the quickening spirit. So when we preach the word of God, we're preaching the quickening spirit to you so that it could be in you, and then your living soul could join to the living quickening word. And then guess what your soul will be without? Sin. Because in Ezekiel 18, it says, all souls are mine. But then it goes on to say in the same verse, the soul that sins, it will die. Is that true with Adam? Does that Adam still work in people today? So what do we need?
Quickening spirit, be joined to it.
We need to think like Jesus did, who knew he was a quickening spirit. And when he entered into the soul, he joined his soul to the quickening spirit instead of trying to pervert the quickening spirit with the idea of the soul. Is that what we've done? Yeah. We actually try to convince the Word of God in us that our soul is right. You ever done that, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah. I've sat with Tim before. This is a few years back. Tim was working, hadn't been around a little while. We met up for lunch and just to hang out. And you know what all Tim could talk about? Nothing about the Word of God. All he could talk about was the guilt of not being around. The apologies and the I'm sorry's and the I wish I was here more. And he was in a mindset of failure, death. It was like talking to Adam. Yep. Is that different now, Tim?
Yes, it is.
Tell us how, man.
Okay, so sin brings condemnation, right? So one of the first things that begins to happen to us in the church was that God put us in the story and began to reveal Adam and that nature of Adam that worked in us. Because if he wants to bring us to Christ, he's going to start to show us that nature of Adam that's been working in us. So in the beginning, and for a while, my consciousness was in that sin and failure and separation and death and all those things. But where that began to change is that it's been gradual. There's been defining moments in my walk with the Lord, but one of the things that's changed that is the gradualness of it, because the Word of God's been sown and spoken and it's been ministered to and it's been watered upon, and the Word of God's been put so deep in my heart that there are times you might go away from it for a while, but there's always that Word of God calling you back. So you continue in it and you watch gradually the Word of God change your thoughts and change your mind. And the Lord is so patient to take the soul and convert you, to heal you of ideas and thoughts and ways that you're thinking. So if the Lord wants to heal you right there on the spot of something, that's awesome. But I also know, too, that I'm going to be patient in the work of the Lord. I'm going to be patient with his work and let it heal me and let it deliver me. And the thought of sin will separate you. So if we can begin to see ourselves in the like he is without sin, then that's going to begin to heal you even more. And that's what's healing me even more greater, is that he took my sin. He bore my sin. He became sin for me. So I can see myself without sin.
So you come around guilty all the time now?
No.
Not at all, huh?
No. No.
Now when you deal with the man of sin, you're starting to approach it as a learning,
yes,
of what to overcome.
Yes.
Everybody hear that? So when you're dealing with the man of sin, you approach it in a manner of, here's what I'm overcoming, not I'm pouring out all my guilt. And it's all it is a change of perception to say, Jesus dealt with this same man of sin. He did it. He overcame it. Matter of fact, when he go into the wilderness, wasn't that Jesus in a work of all his flesh was manifested in the form of a devil, and he just confronted it head on? Isn't that what he was doing? So he said, here's all my flesh, here's all my weakness, here's that devil that I have been sown into. Now let me withstand him and teach him that even my soul doesn't belong to him anymore. That's amazing. Come on, everybody. I got to ask, are you teaching the devil that your soul doesn't belong to him, your earthly part? Because you say, well, yeah, but I'm a spirit. I'm a heavenly person. True, but you're also a soul. Is your soul falling prey to the devil, or are you allowing that Word of God to work on behalf of Jesus and speak to that devil and say, no, my soul has been saved. I'm no longer a sinner. I walk by faith. That's awesome, man. I feel like we threw 5,000 words into one little sentence. The revelation of what you should receive here this morning is, I can overcome the flesh because Jesus did. Amen. And he dealt with every last bit of it. Now, Tim, back to what you read. You read in Hebrews about, we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched. Think of that. In all likenesses, he went through the same infirmities. That's why he's so holy. You remember when the scripture talks about that the angels desire to look upon things? See, that's in Hebrews 2. And it also says that, but Jesus was chosen as the son, not the angels. Jesus was put in the lineage of Abraham to walk in the flesh and overcome it. That was his sin. That was his call. He's the one that fulfilled it. Okay? And the angels were not called to do that. Jesus was. But because Jesus was faithful to do it and go into the likeness of sinful flesh and deal with it head on, face to face, everybody that's joined to Jesus now gets to die with him in that same likeness. In other words, remember, I think it was on a holiday I preached that we all think that dying is a bad thing, but I showed it in the mindset of Jesus. He got to die to fear. Remember that? He got to die to the flesh. It was a joy. It was an awesome thing. You mean I get to die to stress and condemnation and anxiety and fear and doubts and unbeliefs, and I get to die to lies? Oh boy. Addictions and bondages, I get to die to it. That's what we get to do by joining in with Jesus. We get to die to it. And therefore, he made it possible because he was a man. And if he wouldn't have done it, we wouldn't be able to do it. But because he did it, everybody say it, we can do it. You can do it. You knew it was coming, Doc. Can you do it or not?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to read another scripture. I'm just going to put some scriptures out there to you because it's right there written.
Can I read the one of the last scriptures?
Of course.
Okay. In Hebrews, as we finish, where it talks about that Jesus was tempted as we are without sin. In verse 16, like it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when I was thinking about that, before I even read that scripture, I was thinking about one thing to help us going through it while we haven't obtained the perfect likeness of Jesus yet, Dan, is that we have what's called grace working for us. We have mercy that's working for us. And so the scripture never condoned go out and sin. It said, my little children, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who is the righteous. So there's always been a provision, which is Jesus, right? He became the sacrifice for sin. Don't go out and sin, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. And while we're learning and growing, we have mercy, we have truth, we have grace, and we find this in our time of help. It's our help. In how does it say? It says, and we find grace to help in time of need. So we have our help while we're learning and growing and coming through these things that we're going to that likeness. But we don't condemn ourselves while we're going there. If we're going to condemn something, condemn the flesh. Put it in the flesh, right? It's the flesh. But we won't condemn the Word of God who we are.
We won't.
We can't.
No. Well, there's something to be said there. But I'm going to have you turn to Philippians 2:5. But here's the thing. What he said there. Now, it reminds me very big of why I preached the peace in the carnal mind. Peace in the carnal mind. You remember that?
Yes.
I preached it because that was exactly what happened to me right there. Was that with all the infirmity that was going on, grace was put before me. And then you could walk in grace. In grace, is sin still present? What do you think? But is it covered? I know it's one of them questions that's like, well, if it's covered, it's not there. What if you say it like this? God just removed it from before your eyes so you couldn't see it. You remember it no more. In other words, only the Lord can see it now. Isn't that awesome? And if the Lord, in other words, now take what he just said, now, because I wanted to revert to this infirmity for a moment too. So I'm glad you read that. He's been touched with the infirmities that we have experienced or do experience, right? Infirmities could be a lot of things, right? It's basically, it's the presence of evil at work. Because it puts you in sickness and in darkness and in blindness and in deafness and all kind of evil disease, everything. Right? So imagine the Lord visiting you and showing you a place of grace where he could cover it. That's, I was in such infirmities at that time, dealing with so many things. We had so much going on in the church at that time with what the Lord was about to do, that the infirmity of the man of sin in me, the work of it in our church, everything, it was almost overwhelming to the point where my favorite song at the time was called "I'm Not All Right." Like, I am not all right, okay? No, that's true. There is a song called that, and there's a point to it. But the point was, if something don't happen, I don't think this is going to work out anymore. But the Lord did the most marvelous thing. He didn't change everything around us yet. He changed my perception to grace, Tim. Grace put me before the throne and said, "Don't worry about it. I got you covered." Now, to me, that was, at the time, I'd never seen anything or experienced anything like that, but that's what helped me get through sin. That's why I say, Micah, do it without sin. Learn without sin. It's grace, bro. It's grace. And that's why that scripture, grace is like a throne that you kneel before and you receive from. And you come to it. And so the Lord keeps you. And I had peace while the carnal mind was still present. In other words, that's like living in darkness and not even knowing it. How is that possible, man? Because the Lord. The Lord keeps back the enemy from overcoming you completely. Isn't that awesome? At that point, I was like, thank God, because my end was near. And sometimes you felt that way, but you know what? It's not near. It's not. The Lord, he understands, man. He's been through it. He knows every single thing you face. Everything. There's not one thought in the spirit of man that Jesus didn't deal with. Not one. Not one infirmity. Nothing. So are you alone?
No.
Time to join greater to the idea of Jesus Christ. That's awesome, isn't it? Now let's look at one more verse here, and then I'm going to open it up. We'll ask some questions if you want.
We're in Philippians 2 and 5?
Yep, 2 and 5.
Okay. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God."
Now notice, first it says in the form of God, okay? Now I'm telling you, that's talking about this spiritual man that he is, okay? Notice what it says, go on.
"But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name."
Stop right there. Go back to the verse before that, verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself. Is that the answer to overcoming the flesh?
Yes.
Not only do you humble yourself to what? To the death of the cross. Is that our answer today?
Yes.
Say, how do I overcome this flesh? Humble yourself to the death of it. That was his success. So I'm struggling. You're not humbling yourself yet. You haven't given yourself to the humility of the death. You haven't accepted the death of it yet. It sounds easy, doesn't it? Say, well, Jesus made it easy. He did. But isn't it interesting the war you go through when you try to die? Anybody know anything about that?
I was just thinking, Dan, I wanted to ask you if you won't humble yourself to the thought of the death, that means that pride's obviously working. How is that pride there keeping you from doing this right here? What does that look like?
It looks like Satan. Was he not full of pride and stood up against? See, this idea of the cross and the death, it's the one thing that the Pharisee, because we could even say them as an example, the Pharisee refused to humble themselves and die because they wanted the earthly position and power and everything that the earth gave them. How many of you say, well, I like my life. I don't want to get rid of it. Some of you may say the opposite. But the point is that they loved their religion and thought of God so much that their arrogance stopped them from humbling themselves, and therefore, instead of dying with Jesus, they're the ones that killed him. So what does it look like? To be in pride will make you kill the one that's humbling themselves. That's what it'll do. You'll be the murderer in the spirit. In other words, so if you join yourself with that in arrogance against the Lord, you will kill the Word of God in you, because the Word of God will always humble itself. But you're not going to do that. You're going to humble yourself. We would, yeah, if we join with pride, we would take the agreement with thought to put Jesus on the cross and kill him. But the idea is, if the more pride works in you, the more resistance you give to dying. So don't do that. Humble yourself before the Lord. And what's he say he'll do? He'll exalt you. And what was Jesus given after he humbled himself? We just read the verse up there that he humbled himself to the death. What's the next verse say again?
Oh, yeah. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name.
Hey, everybody ready for your name? Are you ready to be exalted because humility is working there? In other words, you get a name above all names because you died to the flesh. So what do you think happens with you? Haven't you read the book of Revelation where the overcomer is given a new name? You mean, is it possible that you could be joined in with the name of Jesus because you've overcome the flesh like he did? That's so cool.